Shanti Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So first of all, welcome to all of you this morning. It is a somewhat special occasion because besides the normal lecture that we are giving in the morning every day, we'll end the lecture with an initiation ceremony, a somewhat simple ceremony because there's only one person, and generally speaking, at a time of initiation, we are performing a yajna, a fire sacrifice. But when there's one person, it becomes like a huge arrangement to make. So then we are just doing that without. So my lecture will be on that theme of what initiation really means in life. So I'll read a verse from the Bhakti Sandarbha from Jiva Goswami. Yata kanchanatam yati kanchan rasa vidanata tata diksha vidanena dvijatyam jayate ninam. By chemical manipulation, bell metal is turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he can acquire the qualities of a Brahmana. So here we're speaking about an alchemical process, which we heard about, but which nobody knows how to perform anymore in these modern times. It's interesting that in Indian texts, also this alchemy comes up, because sometimes I think this is just a rumor, you know, from the Middle Ages. But here we see the same point is made, that by a certain process, bell metal can be turned into gold when touched by mercury. All right, leaving the alchemy for what it is. The point is, we're speaking here about a transformation. How bell metal is becoming gold, or how a person, when properly initiated, can acquire the qualities of a Brahmana or the qualities of the mode of goodness. Not by magic, not by some sort of ritual which in itself brings about the transformation. Rather, the ritual offers blessings and opportunities. Blessings are given by superior persons, which makes it more easy to make that transformation, but it's really with the individual himself. The individual has to take the initiation to heart and start to make changes in his life. That's not done by the spiritual master. The spiritual master prays to Krishna. He prays to Krishna for the deliverance of this particular soul. He prays to Krishna, please grant special mercy upon this person. And because the spiritual master has some credit with Krishna because of his service, his previous service, therefore he's become the representative of Krishna, and therefore he can ask Krishna to particularly be kind and merciful. But Krishna is completely independent, so such mercy is not purchased just in the shop around the corner, you know, give me 1 kilo of mercy. And Krishna decides, he decides with every individual when he wants to bestow his mercy. And each individual has to earn it. So Prabhupada sometimes said initiation, he said, especially first initiation. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, our predecessor Acharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has formalized the process of initiation for modern times. And he divided it up in 2 initiations. One, Harinam Diksha, or where mantra, where the holy name was given. And that is the initiation we are performing today. And then in this Harinam, the person who is to be initiated is receiving the holy name. The holy name is, of course, widely available. Anyone can hear it in the street. Right? Here they come, ching, ching, boom, ching, ching, boom. It's the Haris. They're coming down the road. Watch out, don't get too close. The color might rub off. But they sing nicely, and they look actually quite happy. And that's a fact. Harinam said yes, but we were already chanting. You're not giving me anything new, I already got it. It's like a birthday, you get a gift, and you unwrap it, you know, full of excitement, and then, I already got that. You try to hide your disappointment, and thank you so much. It's one of those. So, you are getting Harinam, the mantra, but you already have the mantra. They already gave it to you when you came. So what new are we giving? Yes, we're giving the mantra again today, but this time we're giving it along with the prayer of the spiritual master. And that the spiritual master is, along with his vow, now we are giving that mantra. That the spiritual master promises not to just pray once in a ceremony like a priest who performs a ritual and then goes home. No, the spiritual master promises to do everything within his might to take a certain individual back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. Even when the disciple is no longer so interested, which sometimes happens, then still the spiritual master, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, glorious is that spiritual master who grabs his disciple by the hair and drags him back to Godhead. That's why we leave a little bit of hair in the back. So there's something left to drag, otherwise it gets difficult. The point is that, so the spiritual master somehow or other has to make arrangements for a disciple to advance. Srimad Bhagavatam explains tadara just tamobhava kamalubhadiyas chayi mateividi tanvili stiktam satrupasidati, that by the process of devotional service, gradually the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion disappear. We are full of these lower modes of nature. The material energy consists of 3 modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And we can see these modes in everything. We see places in goodness, peaceful, clean places, maybe the forest with the pond and the lotus flowers and the swan, those kind of places. Then we see places in passion, where the entire atmosphere is intense. And places in ignorance, covered by dirt, where people are lazy, dirty, intoxicated. In the mode of passion, we try to enjoy the material world. In the mode of ignorance, we try to forget about it and sniff some glue or something like that. In the mode of passion, we try to have a good time in the world. Sometimes you may see beautiful, especially in some countries in the world, beautiful, clean countries. Everything's clean in these countries. There's not one brick lying around in the street. A country like Switzerland, for example. There's not one brick in the street that's not supposed to be there. Everything is in its place. Beautiful white picket fences. Nice clean houses with little flower boxes under every window. Right? And, you know, and cows with bells that are so loud, you know, that you're just wondering, like, God, how can these cows mend? Hundreds of cows with bells. And one might say, this is the mode of goodness. No, this is the mode of passion. Because in the mode of passion, we try to make everything beautiful. Swiss chocolate. It's about enjoying. So sometimes we see that also in the mode of passion, we make everything beautiful in this world. So the mode of passion is very different from the mode of ignorance, which is dirty, chaotic, intoxicated, and full of habits that are destructive. Whereas the mode of passion is about enjoying, but it is also destructive. It is also about bringing an end to, or it is about prayas. It is about immediate enjoyment, but in the end, we are not enjoying. Sweet at first, and then, why did I do this? And you know those things, right? I know at least. I've been to occasions where I did some things and I thought I was having a good time, and then after I thought, why did I do this? Oh, I'll never do it again. But spiritual life is different. It is about shreyas. It is about long term. So we are very careful. We are deliberate. We must become thoughtful. This is difficult because we're not used to this. We're used to just do anything, you know, that comes up in our head. Oh, I know. Oh, I already did it. Say anything before thinking. And the spiritual life is about becoming thoughtful. That is the mode of goodness. And that means to act in a deliberate way and to act for the long-term benefit. Even if there is some austerity at first, one acts for the long-term benefit. That if we want to make this human form of life successful, then we must engage our energy, our prana, our possessions, our artha, our dia, our intelligence, and our words, our vacha, for the long-term benefit, sada, always. Always is the last word in every moment. So that's really what we are working towards. That's the key to the transformation that is meant to take place. In a way, there is a change today. There is a change, because there is a. There is a new responsibility, and one that doesn't go away. So that is a change, a big change, undoubtedly. But on the other hand, so we are the same person with a new responsibility. That's all. That's the change today. And we have more blessings upon us than we had before. That is the further change today. But then we have to take it to heart. Therefore, this lecture is important for the one who takes initiation, because he should keep this lecture and listen to it again and again until the points really sink in, and because this is like these are the guidelines of what you're supposed to do. Yes, so in the verse it is said that by chemical manipulation bell metal is turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated or receiving Diksha, he can acquire the qualities of a Brahmana. Today, only the first step, we're getting there in two steps. Later, when you have nicely and faithfully followed the vows of first initiation, and when you have seriously attempted to develop the qualities of the mount of goodness, then second initiation will be given. It is said for the first initiation, the initiative must come from the candidate. Some people are waiting for first initiation for the spiritual master to tell them, you know, when that time will come. But there must be some eagerness from the side of the candidate. So one may ask for it. One may. The second one may not ask for it. One may not push. It's going to be tough. So from this time on, you just have to wait it out. You see. But meanwhile, not just sit and wait, but meanwhile do something and earn it. Earn it by surrender. Earn it by endeavor. And samo dhamastapu and tapu samas santi arjunam eva cha. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahmakam svabhava cha. These are the qualities by which a brahmana works. These are the qualities on which you can start to meditate. Samana, to be equipoised, no matter what happens. Just to try and take it with a balanced mind. Not get so excited. One day totally inspired, another day totally depressed. No. Be equipoised by seeing the long-term goal. Oh yes, it's difficult. When you're going to climb Table Mountain, you know, I guarantee you, it's not the highest mountain, right? And maybe a disappointment to the locals. It's not the highest mountain in the world. It's not such a tough mountain to climb, right? But you know, still, we don't do it every day. And when we go up there, there will be a moment like, oh God, it's getting tough, you know, it's intense. And where you have to go a little bit through your limits. But, and spiritual life is like that. It's like climbing the mountain. Some moments it's easy, some moments it will be difficult. Some moments we will be inspired. Some moments we will not be inspired. Some moments we will be feeling that, yes, this is what I always wanted. Other moments we will be feeling like, oh, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And then when our feelings say, what are we doing here? Then we're hanging on a thin thread. On the thin thread of intelligence. That's all we have. But he intelligently says, ho, 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 wait a minute, in what kind of space are we going now? No, 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 we're not going there. No. We'll take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, you know, Bhagavatam is not reserved for those days. It's not that on that day when we're hanging on the thread of doubt and thinking, what am I doing here? I can't take this anymore. I can't take this no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. Yeah? On that day, we take the Bhagavatam off the shelf, and it's not that when we open it, that then a huge cloud of dust comes out of the book, right? Or that it is still in the original cellophane from when we purchased and that we never took the plastic off. No. We take the Bhagavatam, the one that is like showing signs of intense reading, you know, with some corners that are folded and all kinds of traces from, like, where you can see someone's been reading this, and that someone is you. Oh, yes. You must. Because otherwise, how can we survive? How can we survive? Because those moments will come. Those moments will come when it will be difficult for us, naturally. We are, after all, still influenced by the modes of ignorance and passion. And because we are, you see, when lusty desires come, they arise from passion. Kamesa, krudesa, rajagunas, samuppada. Lust is arising from the mode of passion. So when that arises, the mind at that stage is beginning to show interesting dynamics. The mind begins to look for excuses that we can, by which we can justify satisfying that lust. And the mind is good at it, extremely good. Therefore, at that time, we are very weak because our mind is weak. And therefore, so then the intelligence can try, but it's not easy. Therefore, we have to strengthen the intelligence in spiritual life. That's a really, and that strengthening of the intelligence comes from reading. So that is now required, that reading of scriptures. That's a change. You may say, I was already reading Maharaj. Maharaj, I was already reading. I was. Yeah. Read more seriously now, because now you're going to need it more. You're going to need it more. So that's to be considered. Yes, of course. I say this more often, that vows, you know, the initiate is taking vows. Vows don't stand by themselves. Right? Vows need support. Just like if you put a wooden post in the sand, right? You know, sand is such a thing, it's like it's not very solid. And the post therefore doesn't stand very strong, so you have to anchor it. And if it's in the sand, you have to anchor it with different lines to hold it up. Right? So the vows have to be anchored. The vows need support. We need to do many things. And interesting is that, you know, in the material world, when you start doing something, when you undertake a task, in the beginning, it's the most difficult because you're not experienced and you don't know. And then after some time, you get experience and it becomes easier. So in the beginning, you have to do more. And afterwards, you do less. But in spiritual life, it's not like that. In spiritual life, with time, you have to do more and more to keep these vows. They demand more. In the beginning, you're chaining your arms, you're just like, okay, I'm doing it. But with time, you realize, I have to invest more in this chanting. I have to invest more in becoming absorbed. I have to actually spend more time finding out about Krishna. I have to get to know Krishna more. It's not enough just to say, chant Hare Krishna. What is Hare Krishna? What is it? You know? Hare Nam. But what is Hare Nam? Yeah. So not only, like I sometimes, act it out. I have this cloth here in the front. This is sannyasi. I'll just take off some other paraphernalia. Oops. And it's warming up anyway. So this piece in the front, is very useful because you can turn it around to the back. Super bhakti. Super bhakti. Super bhakti is in town. With flapping cape out the door. Super bhakti. After a while, you get tired from that. One day, Super Bhakta will be dead dog tired. And then what? What now? Are you fired up? No. Why not? I'm tired. Now what? At that time, it's not only our enthusiasm, but it is also our death. What does it mean? Who is Krishna? Who is he? What does Hare actually mean? In its full meaning, what does it actually mean, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? What are we actually chanting? What are we doing? What does it mean? We have to explore. Of course, I can give a translation. I can give the translation and say that Krishna means he. Krishna means dark, and Nam means not. No more darkness. Yes. He who destroys all darkness. That's one meaning of Krishna. Another meaning of Krish means akarsa, to attract. And Nam means anant, happiness. So Krishna, who attracts us, yes, and gives happiness. Hare, one simple meaning of the word is service, devotional service. So devotional service to the all-attractive Krishna. And Ram, Ramanta yogine nante satchananda siddhatmani iti ramapadena surupram brahma vidiyate, is referring to transcendental happiness. That's one meaning. So, transcendental happiness. So we can say, the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is that we serve all attractive Krishna, either the destroyer of darkness, or he who attracts our heart. So we serve the destroyer of darkness, or we serve the one who attracts our heart, and plunges us into an ocean of transcendental happiness. It's one translation. Let's try another one, another meaning. Krishna is known as Bhagavan. Etecham Sakalapunsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. That is the central verse, the Parivasa Sutra, the one verse that sheds light to the whole text in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this verse, Etecham Sakalapunsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, is the essential verse about Krishna. So we can say, Krishna is Bhagavan. Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, gives an interesting translation of the word Bhagavan. There are different translations of the word Bhagavan. This one I like. It is Bhajaniya Guna Visista. Bhajaniya Guna Visista means he whose qualities are so irresistible, you have to serve him. Krishna. I like that. You too. Bhajaniya Guna Visista. Yes, so remember that again. Bhajaniya Guna Visista. 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 Krishna is irresistible. But then maybe we have to find out what his qualities are. Because if it is just, oh, Krishna is blue. Blue? God? Blue? Okay. I guess he's blue. Black is blue. Blue? No. No, he's not. He's not blue. He is Sham, that color, where in the bluish sky the sun is at its peak, because in India during the rainy season the heat of the sun is increasing tremendously. And if you thought South Africa got hot, you have no idea what heat is, you know what I mean? It's like in Vrindavan, it's like a baking temperature. I have seen people that went through the summer in Vrindavan and they looked like baked apples. Seriously. They did. Yes, they're all dried up. So it gets hot. So when the sun gets very hot in the sky, and then at one point the monsoon clouds come in, the dark monsoon cloud. But the sun is so bright that it shines through the clouds. The clouds don't block the sun. And the sun and the clouds become effulgent, very effulgent, and blackish, bluish. That is the color of Krishna. Okay, it sounds already better than blue. God is blue. So in this way, there is a lot to find out, and always something more. So we have to explore. We need to go in depth. We need to actually, the other day on the airport, and I mentioned it on my arrival, I came past this book, and they're really pushing it because they had a whole table full of this book, and it was about thinking fast and slow. And kind of, I could relate to it, and I did already explain something about it when I arrived, right? Thinking fast. Who can think more fast than a devotee? Than a pure devotee? Because a pure devotee doesn't have to edit anything on the mind. He's completely connected with the absolute truth. So, he can just immediately speak. And it's pure. Whereas any ordinary person, you think what you're going to say, and then you have to, like, at lightning speed, test it through the... Is it okay? You know, what's the... What's the result going to be of all these things? You know, will it land good with the people? Will it land good with, you know, with those who are close to me? You know? Okay, say it. And all this, you know, just in like a millisecond, right? A millisecond, just this whole process taking place. For the pure devotee, not required. Yeah. The pure devotee, he can just speak the absolute truth. Therefore, he can speak, he can think very fast. Faster than anyone else, and Prabhupada showed that. You know, I heard, said a journalist, that the guru knows the answer to all questions. Prabhu, yes. Then how many windows in the Empire State Building? Prabhu, sir, how many drops of water in a mirage? Bang. Without thinking for a second, expose the Empire State Building for what it is, and told the man in a polite way, that's a stupid question. Could you really think about what he said? Brilliant. He did it again and again, to think very fast. But there is the other side, thinking slow. Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayo, to fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. And so guru means heavy. Heavy because he cannot be moved from his position, which is always fixed at Krishna's lotus feet. So we must also stop, and take the time to go deep, deep in our chanting, deep in our reading, deep in our practices. And this we have to practice. You can't do it all at once, but this is needed, this depth. That is to be balanced. We also have to become active and do something to change the world. Oh yes, everyone's doing it. Just go through town and see all the aggressive advertising, constant, changing the world. There was a billboard with a hand and a paint can, and the paint can was upside down and the paint was splashing out down onto the globe, And then under it, it said, we're changing the face of the earth. Prabhupada saw it. Prabhupada said, that's us. That's us. We're doing it. The guys with the paint can, yes, may also temporarily have some effect, but they don't really change. It's only cosmetic. But this movement can really change. So there's a huge task ahead of us. And that task has to be undertaken. For that, we have to be ready to get out of comfort zone. Comfort zone is very nice. The temple, so sweet, especially the Mahaprasadam, the devotees, the cozy ashram is comfy. No, you have to go out on the street. And not only for the nectar, but also some austerity. Distribute books, oh my God, yes. Because Prabhupada said, the Brihat Mridanga, or quoting a spiritual master, really, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta, saying, the printing press, this, the printing press was making a beating noise, just like a drum. The Mridanga is the two-headed drum, but the printing press is like even louder. So because your Mridanga will be heard on one block, but the printing press will be heard all over. So book distribution must be there. Oh yes, and books have to go where they're needed most. And we have lots of books in Khalsa. In fact, I sponsored some. Some are here, actually. These books, they have to reach the Khosa people. I forget the clicking because it doesn't really click here. doesn't want to click. It's too much. It's so early in the morning. But you know what I mean. Because how can we reach out? How can we reach out to others under difficult circumstances? By being determined. Yes, but it will be difficult. Then how can we reach out to others who are in need and who live under difficult circumstances? By being compassionate. How can we be compassionate? It's like compassion is a difficult thing. Satsang Maharaj wrote a book about compassion, and on the first page he starts, he said, actually, I'm not very compassionate at all. And he said, like, and when I feel compassion, I actually feel it mostly for myself. It's just like a pretty good opening. I mean, he's a good writer. I mean, he got me with that, you know. I go like, okay, I'm going to read this book. That looks like promising. It looks good, you know. Yes, so how do we develop compassion? You can't, okay, I'm going to try, in front of the mirror, have that look on my face. Convincing? That's like, okay. Maybe some tears. So it's difficult, compassion. One day I was thinking about that, you know, compassion, and I was thinking, well, you know, before you can really feel compassion, you have to have something better. If you really have something better, then you can feel compassion. So first you have to have something better before you can have something of compassion. So actually, to really have compassion, we'll have to have a higher taste. We'll have to discover the higher taste. Otherwise we'll never have compassion. And then we'll always hesitate. And we'll always make a million excuses why we don't really preach. This is what is needed. And it's needed to. I mean, our mission here in South Africa, Srila Prabhupada, when he came to Africa, and the first thing he saw was his followers had gone to Africa, also in South Africa, and so on. And they had immediately found shelter with the Indian community, who said, like, yes, Swamiji, yes, so nice you have come, please have seats, sit down, how can we serve you? Some mangoes, please. And bring some whipped cream as well. Ice cream in the middle, if possible, yes. So, yes, of course, Swamiji, yes, anything. The Indian community, by nature, knows that one should serve the sadhus. So they'll serve, and at the end, give donation as well. So, yes, Prabhupada saw that the devotees had been preaching to the Indian community. And the Indian community was happy because they needed some priests to kind of remind them and strengthen them in their spiritual practices. The Prabhupada said, no, the local people. I have to reach out to the local people. So, that's in your initiation lecture. And it doesn't go away. And I really think that, of course I can't say what destiny will do, right? But if you have a choice, stay in Africa. Sometimes go for a visit somewhere else. No need to run away. Just stay here and do something. Um, that is really at the end of the day how one becomes advanced, you know, by doing something, and for Krishna. So some responsibility has to be taken. Initiation really is the stage of responsibility. There are different things, different challenges for different people. But I would like you to learn the art of book distribution. And of course I want you to do keep lots of kirtan as well. But I want you to become an expert book distributor. Because you have a mind that is sort of it tends to get very fixed on one thing. And you have this kind of, some people have this kind of mind. They get extremely fixed on one thing. And so that is if you have such a mind, that's a great blessing for book distribution. Yeah. So I want you to learn the art of book distributions. And Krishna sent you these Russian devotees who can teach you, so learn from them. Go out with them and just learn from them. That is because that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And what can he say? Finished. Everything stops there. That's what Prabhupada wanted. And that was his way, and his way is our way. That's what it means. So it was one of those days where I grew into this ceremony, and I think now I will start taking the vows. So. Get someone to change the neck beads. You can never engage a senior. If a senior volunteers, yes. So never turn to your senior servant. Be very careful about that. It's a very difficult thing to learn. But, you know, Vaishnava etiquette. Is it good? So, of course, they'll be happy to do it. So while you're putting the neck beads, I didn't speak on the 10 offenses, but you recite them every day in the morning. The 10 offenses to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy name. It is said that Balam Janamana Kariyari Shravana Kirtanam Dhutanapaya Krishna Padapriyadanam. That if you are not careful about avoiding the 10 offenses, then the result of chanting Hare Krishna will be delayed. And you chant and chant, but Krishna will withdraw himself from the name and the mercy will not happen. So even for many, many births, you can chant like that and still you'll not get Krishna pain. So you have to be conscious to avoid them. And that's about it. Okay. John, just can you move this table? It's a solid piece of wood. Latest addition in the Cape Town temple, the golden table. Okay, so come and offer full obeisances, your feet in that direction, but not straight to Srila Prabhupada, yeah. Maybe Prabhupada will just love it if you know
that.
Prabhupada, you also said? No. Yeah, then you do Prabhupada's Pranam mantra there. from the other side.
That's it.
Perfect. Now I keep my eyes short. So, my dear Rory, what are the 4 8-Life principles that you promised to follow for the rest of your life?
The 4 8s I vow to follow are I will not take any intoxications, not engage in gambling, not eat meat, fish or eggs, and no illicit sex. And I also vow to...
Wait. I didn't ask for that.
Now that it includes no onion and garlic, that's okay, you know. There are many other finer points, but should have probably been asking devotees to say that. And in how many rounds are you promising to chant every day?
I promise to chant 16 rounds minimum daily.
Okay, that's very good.
Names have to grow. Names have to, it's nice if a name carries
a meaning,
something that will be with us, you know. But oftentimes we are giving a name where the first letter is maintained. It's especially because in Vedic culture people would get a particular syllable according to the astrological time of birth. I don't think your parents did that when they called you Rory, did they? So I'm not so attached to the first letter. And therefore, as it's grown on me, I think that from this day on, you will be known as Brihat Mridanga Das. We'll work on the spelling later. a beginning, right, of spiritual life. Available for everyone. A student, a lady, who approached me for initiation, and she got more and more serious about it, and then her mother found out about it, and then her mother got very upset, and her mother said, called me up and said, "You can't initiate her, you know, you can't do it." I said, like, well, the authority of the parents, right, extends only up to a certain point, right? And as far as, like, before God, right, everyone has a direct relationship, right? And parents have no right to interfere in that relationship, and that exceeds their authority. Right? So therefore, you know, if she desires it, it's like, it's her choice. So the mother was like, sputtering and walking away. And then after I did give the initiation, then later the mother came to visit me. And she said, "You take it back." And I explained again to the mother that I was only like that the promise wasn't made to me. Yeah? That it wasn't made to me, but that it was made to the Supreme Lord, because I'm the representative of the Supreme Lord. So it was made to the Supreme Lord. And so if you want anyone, if you want it to be taken back, you go and ask God. I'd rather that. I said, no, I think, and I also told her, it's good actually, that she is initiated. She got all these blessings now, and she's a blessing to your whole family. I said, in fact, not only she should be initiated, you should be initiated too. I told her that. So, but that is a fact, actually. Everyone should be initiated sooner or later. That's really. Bhavanam Jamanamante, after many lifetimes, comes to that point. Yeah. And we should not hesitate. Yes, we should prepare for it. We should do it with, not in the mode of passion. We should thoroughly understand what we're doing and practice for a while. But everyone should be initiated. Life may change, Can you give me the cloth? So, not only, so at the time of initiation, we take these vows and we sort of really ready for it. And our Brihat Mridanga, formerly known as Rory, it has a lot of enthusiasm, and he also has a great desire to be a brahmachari. So I'm willing to reciprocate, and give him this opportunity. So here comes part two of the day, Part one was he's just took these big vows, and now he wants to put on saffron cloth. Here it is. It's that cloth is sacred. The color saffron. Why saffron? It is said. Okay, saffron stands for celibacy, but never have I been able to find a good reason why saffron was the chosen color. But the best reason I ever found was that the dust at the lotus feet of the Lord is of saffron color. So, therefore, I like to wear it myself. I reckon it's a good color. But with it, again, there is increased responsibility. Because one has to learn how to maintain celibacy. It said the brahmachari is not intimately mixing with members of the opposite sex and only interacting with them for in service. He doesn't, for example, socialize. Oh, how are you? I didn't see you such a long time. How are you feeling? Are you well? And it's like, at least not with devotees who are living in the temple. Right? But on the other hand, for preaching, he is also interacting with members of the opposite, and he doesn't want to do that. I like a little socializing, because that's what preaching is. It's about making relationships. It's not about lecturing, it serves in the Bhagavad Gita. That's not preaching. That's scaring people away. from preaching is to be a human being and to share that actually human benefits of others. To be a brahmachari is not about fanaticism, it's not about women. It's not about being harsh and rigid. It's about, and it's certainly possible to have some human exchanges and be a normal human being. But one should not, but certain things you don't do. You don't go shopping together. Well, unless, you know, at least there's some others and it's for Krishna. I was in one temple and there was this brahmachari talking to me, and then there was this lady and she was simultaneously trying to carry two huge suitcases on the staircase. He said, "Do you see that?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "God, such a little girl carrying such big suitcases." I said, "Yes." He said, "I cannot let her carry those suitcases." I said, "Be careful." He said, "No, I can't let this happen." He went up the stairs, carried the suitcases up, and 2 years later, I saw him with two little babies on his arm. And then I told him, I said, "I told you not to carry those suitcases." So, not in a bad way. Brahmacharya is a choice. It is an ashram. It is a rare choice. It is not often taken. It's not cheap. If you take it, then you have to keep it at least for some time. Don't come back in 6 months and say, "You know, I don't want it." If you're not sure about it, I can keep it for a while, this cloth. You don't have to take it. You don't have to take it. No, it's a particular choice for men who say, "Okay, I want to try this life of renunciation." A life, renunciation is in itself, says Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, not very valuable. It's not valuable at all. He said, it doesn't give you love for Krishna at all. It doesn't give you any bhakti. You can be so renounced that you just fast every Ekadasi, never drink a drop of water. It will not give you any love of God. It will help, though, to become more determined. But the real thing is that renunciation, the best benefit of renunciation, gives you a lot of time. When you're alone, you have lots of time. Yeah, that's it. Life is more simple. It keeps life simple. That gives you time and opportunity for hearing, chanting, and other devotional service. And it's there where it has to come. So, always remember that I'm not qualified. Remember that I got initiation, I was not qualified. But I just got it out of mercy. I got this suffering cloth, I'm not qualified. I got it out of mercy. Now I got initiated out of mercy, let me try and take shelter of it and make the best of it. Now that I'm receiving the suffering cloth, I'm not qualified, but let me try to become qualified and take shelter of it. Think like that. Please do not become proud. Think I'm a brahmachari. Please be kind to all. Brahmacharis can also be kind to ladies. Because Brahmacharya should also be always be kind to everyone. Yeah. But, okay, no, not excessive mixing, like that. It has to, for a Brahmacharya, one has to come to the mode of goodness. So I'm willing to give it to you. But you have to try and cultivate a lot of goodness. Otherwise it will become very difficult. Very difficult. And they'll come back in 6 months, and not in 6 months and 1 day.
I mean, normally speaking, once you put this on, at least for a few years, are you sure that you want it? Yeah? Now then, please take this lesson. May Krishna help you. Best as if you do it for the rest of your life. That would be the best. I'm done for now.